As you make your way back to your place where you started, or if you found a new friend, just sit with them. It's always a joy to see the joy that is shared amongst the congregation on a day like this. It's one of the things I have heard from our online family that they enjoy seeing everybody. So when you walk around, they actually get glimpses of you. So you know, they know who's been here and who's here, and that they feel part of that moment as we celebrate this day together, not only here in this room, but across the internet as those people that join in with us. It's always a joy. So this day we are looking into the book of Kings and continue on in our Proverbs reading. So I want to share with you scripture this day from 1 Kings chapter 19. May God add His blessing to the word as we hear it and respond to it. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid, and he ran for his life. And when he had come to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. And while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom brush and sat down under that bush and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "I take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he laid down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once the angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. And he ate and he drank and then lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by the food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, tore down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. And I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." And the Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart, shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came, came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, tore down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. And I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." And the Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came. Go to the desert of Damascus. And when you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray before we share the Word of God. May the word of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts and our thoughts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. In your precious Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Today, we have heard a very famous story about a prophet. He was the first of many important prophets God sent to warn Israel and Judah as the two kingdoms fell away from God. And his name is Elijah. Elijah is considered one of the most greatest prophets in the Old Testament. At the time when Elijah serving God as a prophet, there was King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. And they worshipped Baal instead of serving their God Yahweh, God of Israel. Baal was the most popular Canaanite god in the Middle East country, and Baal idols were often cast in the form of bull, which represented lust, power, and fertility. And Baals were also believed to supply rain for crops. In such a time like this, in the previous chapter, we can see that there's a thrilling battle between Elijah and the 450 Baal prophets at the Mount Carmel. And Elijah, in that battle, wanted to show and prove that there's only one living God that they should serve, while King Ahab and Jezebel was leading people to fall into idolatry, serving other gods. So Elijah says, look, there are 450 prophets for Baal, and there's just me for the Lord. Let's have a little contest. You guys take a bull and put it on a pile of wood. I'll do the same. And we both pray to our gods, and whichever god sends fire to burn the bull is the real deal. This sounds good to the people, so they said to it. The priests of Baal called to their god from morning till noon, but nothing happens. So Elijah said, louder, boys, he's probably out of the office, or maybe he's asleep. The priests go totally nuts, screaming even super louder and cutting themselves, as was customary. They got bloody and gross. But still, nothing happens. Finally, the priest gave up, and it is Elijah's turn. And he says, all right, everybody, come on up. Check this out. He takes 12 stones and fixes up the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. He puts wood on top of it, cuts up the bull, and lays it on the top of the wood, and digs a trench around the altar. Then he tells the people to dump 4 barrels of water all over the altar, not once, but 3 times. When evening comes, Elijah prays to God and says, let everyone know today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. And the fire of God falls down and eats up the bull, the wood, the stones, and all the water in the trench. With such a spectacular signs of God, Elijah defeated that 450 Baal prophets and kill them. And in another story, when Elijah prayed, a heavy rain began to fall in times of drought for more than 3 years. Elijah, he was on a roll. He was a prophet in charge. Because of his great success as a prophet, he may have fully expected that King Ahab and Jezebel would capitulate and Baal worship would come to an end in Israel. But things were not going his way. his spectacular victory was at best short-lived. Rather, a queen, Jezebel, sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "May the gods punish me terribly if by this time tomorrow I don't kill you, just as you killed those prophets." When Elijah heard this, he was afraid and ran for his life. He fled far away and far away, but he thought he can't make it and he could not survive. So he sat down under a bush tree and he prayed to God to die. He said, "I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. Let me die." Then he lay down under the tree and slept. So our church is reading Proverbs together throughout this summer. And from our weekly Bible reading, what passages have touched your heart or taught you something? For me, I have reflected the story of Elijah with this proverb. And this Proverbs 15:8 kind of helped me to reflect in a deeper level this story. And the Proverbs 15:8, it says, and it is in your bulletin. And maybe if you can, shall we read it together? It is Proverbs 15:8. Are you ready? Let us read. "The Lord hates the sacrifice that the wicked offer, but he likes the prayers of honest people." Yes. By this. Although Elijah was the most powerful and greatest prophet, in this story, he got to the point where he was asking to God to take his life. Facing the threat of death, Elijah became weak and vulnerable. So did God rebuke him? Did God say, like, "How dare you say so?" No. Instead, God sent an angel to care for Elijah. And Elijah just prayed to God something like, "I have done this, Lord. I'm done. I have had enough." Did he start his praying like, "Almighty Heavenly Father, beseech your grace upon me"? No. He just simply said, "I'm done, Lord. Take my life." But it was also one of the form of prayer, and God didn't rebuke him. God sent his angel to care for him. Do you remember the prayer of Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane before he was handed over the people who will kill and crucify him? Jesus prayed like this, "Father, if you are willing, take away this cup of suffering. But do what you want, not what I want." Do you see the honest prayer of Jesus? Physically speaking, he wanted to escape from the suffering of death on behalf of our humanity. It is okay, brothers and sisters, to share your broken heart, your burdens, and your sorrows when you pray. In this critical moment, the scripture says, "Then an angel from heaven appeared to Jesus to strengthen him." Even Jesus got helped when he faced with the threat of death. An angel came from heaven and helped Jesus to strengthen him. How much more do we need this kind of encouragement? How honest are we when we pray? Remember, brothers and sisters, it is okay to tell God anything from your heart. It is okay to pray to God like Elijah, "I have had enough, Lord." Honesty is the key element of prayer. When Elijah asked God to take his life, because of the pressure and fear of death, and he finally fell asleep. But there's an angel came and touched him. Get up and eat. The angel said, and Elijah saw near his head a loaf of bread and water, so he ate and drank. God provided for his physical and spiritual need. But still, Elijah's energy level was like this low. So in spite of this special experience of being nourished by an angel, what did he do? He went back to sleep again. Later, the Lord's angel came to him a second time. The angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat. If you don't, the journey will be too hard for you." So he got up and ate and drank. The scripture said, the food made him strong enough to walk for 40 days and nights to Mount Sinai, the Mount of God, the Mount Horeb. So when God restores us and gives us new energy, let us remember, brothers and sisters, that God does not just fix the problem we have or situation we are at. After all, God wants us to find God along the way so that we can receive God's continual direction, grace, and wisdom. So may God give us this food to strengthen our farmers whose farming is way different than they did in the past. May God give us this food to our marriage, to our relationship, to our church, to renew our souls and our heart, so that we may also be able to walk that 40 days and nights to where God wants us to be, to find God. So don't stop when your problem is fixed. Don't stop when your prayer is answered. God wants us to know more of God so that we can have deeper understanding, so that we can be more like God. That is what God wants us to do and be. So the word of the Lord came to Elijah when he reached to this mountain of Horeb. And God said, "Go, stand in front of me on the mountain, and I will pass by you." Then a furious wind passes and tears up the rocks on the mountain, but the Lord is not in the wind. Then there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake either. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. So where is God? Wind, earthquake, and fire are all natural phenomena that often heralded God's presence or appearance. Where was God? The scripture says God was in a gentle whisper. Another translation says God was in a sound of sheer silence. Elijah's recognition of God's voice in the gentle whisper, it should have been a lesson for him. Because think about Elijah's ministry and his life. He would have experienced God in a spectacular, in miraculous signs, and he would have seen God in so many powerful ways that God has done through him. But now he knew that God is still here when life goes crazy and when life gets tough and when we are in low spirits. The majority of life service to God is in quiet, routine, and humble obedience to God's will. That is what sometimes I'm seeing God through our people at First UMC of Dixon. When people are serving at Meals on Wheels, Lydic Center, or going on a mission trip, and in different forms of service to God and people. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be a high experience. Just in our simple routine, we can see God. Do you know what we call today or these days in the church calendar, in the church lectionary? The church calendar says today as 12th Sunday in ordinary time. What I want you to learn from this story is that Elijah was not changed nor transformed right away. When he got helped by the angel, you know, it would have been a very special, extraordinary experience. But what did he do? He went back to sleep. He might have thought to himself, like, I don't care. Even if angel helped me, I don't mind. I will back to sleep. When God says, what are you doing here, Elijah? Even after he encountered God in this very special way, like God was in a gentle, sheer silence, we see Elijah keep complaining to God, I have always served you as well as I could, but the people of Israel have broken their agreement, covenant with you, and they destroyed your altars and killed your prophets with swords. I am the only prophet left, and now they are trying to kill me too. So God, you should have been seeing to my welfare more carefully. But we see here that God is a persistent God to this despondent Elijah. God does not give him up. Rather, God provides remarkable supplies for new energy and encouragement along the way. And Elijah is given a recognition that he is not alone. God leads him and cares for him and encourages him. And likewise, the same God is with us right now. When we have high experience, but also a kind of low experience. When we go in distress, and when we are in a dark night of the soul, God is with us always. So the other passages from Proverbs that I read and came up to my mind was this. It is Proverbs 15:16. Let me read. It is better to be poor and respect the Lord than to be wealthy and have much trouble. So where is Elijah? Elijah is in the wilderness, and he is being threatened by the most powerful person in Israel now. But still, he is in God's care. And versus King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, they would have been most wealthy and luxurious people. But this Proverbs taught us something. It is better to be poor or to be in danger or to be in distress and respect the Lord than to be wealthy and to have much trouble. This journey, I don't know about you where you are at right now, but as long as we have this relationship with God, our journey may be accompanied by too many disappointments and frustrations, and the way at times may be far too rigorous with too few moments of comfort, but it is a way of remarkable freedom, uncommon joy, and an incredible sense of fulfillment, because God is with us, God is with you, and God does not give you up. And may God give us this strength as we go on our journey that God has called us to go and take. Will you pray with me? Dear God, we give you thanks for this story of faith. Even this great giant of faith, Elijah, found himself in the wilderness and he asked God to die. I pray, Lord, that we may find ourselves in the same way. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us your grace and your spiritual food. Jesus, fill our hearts with your grace and your strength so that we may be able to walk the life journey that you have called us, so that we may even find your grace and find you in different ways, so that we may continue to love you and honor you and trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.